Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Jaguars postgame from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor will be along shortly. Final score in Week 15, Falcons 23, Jaguars 17. The Falcons now 7-7. They snap a six-game losing skid. The Jags fall to 5-9. And, boy, the second-half, third-down defense in this game is going to haunt this team. And, it's been a storyline. Lack of a pass rush for this team. You live by the blitz, you die by the blitz, and a lot of the times, especially in that one drive, they brought pressure, and it cost them.
Yeah, the one drive they had, the Falcons converted a 3rd-and-9 to Justin Hardy, 3rd-and-5 to Justin Hardy, 3rd-and-13 to Roddy White, which, I mean, that just kills you, JP. And they converted another one to Devontae Freeman, but fortunately a couple of penalties on the Falcons turned that over and forced the Falcons to kick a field goal there and gave the Jags an opportunity. But really, 6-point margin. Okay, this game, you can look at it boiling down to one play. Blake Bortles throws the interception. When you're sitting there in chip shot field goal range, at worst at the end of the first half, you're going to get 3. Instead, you give up 3. That play worth 6 points going to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's the difference in the game today. 23-17, the final score. But the Jags' offense did get rolling in the second half. They found a little momentum. They got an interception from Posluszny, drove down after that, got a second touchdown, and all of a sudden it's a tie game early in this second half.
It was, but then they really couldn't recapture that. They had it. They knew they had let something get away at the end of the first half. They came out and wanted to show that they had something going, and they did have something going, but too much inconsistency throughout the course of the day. They'd make some big plays, but Blake Bortles missed some open guys today. No one bigger than Allen Hurns on the final drive there, where whether he scores or not, he is going to be well inside the Atlanta 30-yard line with plenty of time left to take some shots at the end zone and try to go ahead and win this football game. And unfortunately for Blake, a little off on that one, as he was on some other passes today.
We're awaiting the first word with Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. He'll visit with Jeff Lagerman outside of the Jaguars locker room after his speech to the team. We'll have it for you here in just a moment. Still awaiting Fred Taylor as well, as the Jaguars fall today in Week 15, 23-17, the final score. The defense, and that's just going to be the thing. I mean, it has been the thing all season, the pressure issue, the lack of pressure on a consistent basis, especially with the four linemen down. You haven't been able to get it, and it cost you against a guy when a guy like Matt Ryan can stand back and has time to throw, he's going to make you pay.
Right, and that just shows you the state of the Jaguars' pass rush, because they sent guys today. They tried to blitz him. They got after him, and they just couldn't get to him enough. And Matt Ryan, at this stage, obviously is much more equipped than Matt Hasselbeck was to beat this football team. That's been the issue, that he hasn't had time most of the year. It wasn't a spectacular game for Matt Ryan, but big on third down, as we pointed out in the second half. And that really, you're right, that's going to be a stinging amount of film to watch for this defense on Monday.
Well, it's going to be a topic the whole offseason, too. And that's going to be the storyline moving forward for this organization, is the defensive side of the ball, fixing the pass rush, defending the pass.
Right. Well, and we know what they have to work on. Unfortunately, now we can almost officially turn our eyes to doing that. There's still two more games to
almost
play. There's a mathematical chance of the Jags remaining alive here with Houston winning today, but the Jags would need to win out. And again, we sat here, how many times have we said it this year, winnable football games? You had a team coming in on a six-game losing streak. You've already lost to a couple of teams late in the season that had only 2 wins coming in.
Let's go outside the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Lagerman has head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, certainly a hard-fought game, the season finale. Not the result that you wanted, but, boy, some great individual efforts out of your football team today. Telvin Smith, Paul Posluszny, and your quarterback certainly making the tackle at the end of the half and making some gutty plays.
Yeah, it was. There's a lot of good individual plays out there. So I just told the team, a lot of good plays, just not enough. In a game like this, got to make more plays. Started off slow. You know, we got to get that taken care of. I know offensively and defensively there's some field position things we need to take care of, but thought we came out strong in the second half, just not enough.
There at the end of the ball game, the Falcons were able to put together a drive that lasted about 14 plays that resulted in the field goal. Would have liked to have had a little bit more time on the clock in that situation.
Sure would have. You know, I think the big part was the third downs. In the fourth quarter, especially defensively, third downs, I don't know, I think they converted, what, 6 of 9 in the second half when they were 1 for 5 in the first half. So that third down was a big, big factor with our defense in the second half.
2 games left, all on the road, you know, but it's been a great run here at Everbank for this year, and I know the fan base certainly showed out, and then it was a great atmosphere today.
Our fans are incredible the whole year. I appreciate them so much. I know our team does too. It just stings this one, you know, not to put out and get an opportunity to win this game in front of them. You know, it hurts, but we'll get it right. We'll come back strong next week.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with head coach Gus Bradley. We'll come back in just a moment. Fred Taylor will join us, and Jeff Lagerman will go inside the locker room. Jags fall 23-17 to the Atlanta Falcons. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Final score in Week 15, Falcons 23, Jaguars 17. Inside the Jaguars locker room, Blake Bortles with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
Right, thank you, JP. Blake, obviously a disappointing loss of a meaningful game in December. If you get the wins, that has to be disappointing.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. You know, I thought the guys played unbelievably hard, never quit, didn't make enough plays, and didn't take care of the ball in certain situations. But proud of the guys for the way they played and, you know, their effort.
How frustrating is it? You know, last week you have a 51-point game, a 42-point second half, and then this week you're only able to find 17.
Yeah, you know, it's difficult. You know, I think, you know, the guys felt confident, didn't have a great first half, you know, had a big interception at the end of the half that hurt us. But, you know, the guys felt confident, felt good. The locker room at halftime was fine. Guys, you know, we've been in this situation before. We've kind of backed ourselves in to being a second half team. So we were good, you know, and just didn't really take chances or take advantage of opportunities we had.
2 games remaining, and they're not going to have a lot of meaning. What do you expect out of your team?
Yeah, we'll play just as hard as we've played today in any other game this season. It's one thing that's, you know, I think special about this locker room is, you know, the effort and enthusiasm. Everybody gives everything they got every Sunday.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
All right, Jeff Lagerman in the locker room with Blake Bortles, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Fred Taylor is with us now, and well, it's a tough one today, Fred, because they had some opportunities the second half. They come back and tie the game. And just that third down defense, they couldn't get off the field, especially on the one drive. The Jags offense started fumbling the ball a bit, fell on them every time, but it just went awry there in the last few drives.
Yeah, I mean, earlier in the game, JP, when I looked at it, I didn't see a whole lot of energy. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. There's no chemistry. Timing looked a little bit off. Things were just a little bit out of sync. And I was trying to wrap my hand around that. And you can't be that way in the NFL. You know, Blake just said in his interview, they're the second half team. But you're a second half team. That's great to say you want to try and finish strong. But at the same time, you have to have fast start, especially against a team that lost 6 in a row. You want to go ahead and knock, you know, whatever, you know, hope that they have, remaining hope. You want to knock that out of them. You know, but they have to find a way to try to start faster. And maybe what helps a little bit is if they not defer the kickoff if they win the coin toss.
Sure.
You know, you get the ball, go down, you try and score. And then, you know, if you're on the side of, you know, 6 losses in a row, you're thinking, here we go again. You know, and that sort of demoralizes you a little bit. So find a way to start faster, man.
Yeah, I'm with you, Frank. They're a second-half team because they're forcing themselves to be a second-half team right now. And, you know, look, you're going to see some of this week-to-week inconsistency. We said last week we didn't think the defense was fixed necessarily because they took advantage of a good matchup with Indianapolis. I don't think Atlanta carved them apart today, but if you give Matt Ryan time, and he had too much time on some key third downs, he's going to find his guys.
Of course. I mean, they came in, you know, really Atlanta, for me, they came in just saying we have nothing to lose. You know, Matt Ryan, they came in hot. It was up-tempo. The first drive, he was 6 for 6. He started out 7 for 7, and then he kind of cooled off a little bit. The fake punt right there, they said, look, we're coming here to win this thing. We'll do anything to win. And, you know, they did what they need to. He was out on the edge making plays, in the pocket making plays. The defense didn't play their best. You know, as you said, JP, not getting off the field on third down. You know, so it's just a lot of things that went against the guys today.
Let's go back in the locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Devon House. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Devon, certainly a disappointing game, a meaningful game in December at home, not able to get that win. How disappointing is it?
It's disappointing. Especially it's another close game we lost. Some of the games this year we lost by 7 or less points. We gotta, you know, find a way to come through and pull those games out when they're that close.
Defensively for you guys, a couple guys had great effort in this ball game. Paul Poslesny playing 1 week after a hand surgery. Played a pretty good game. Telvin Smith, a guy that was in and out with a hand injury throughout the course of the game. Your quarterback, gutty performance to make a tackle at the end of the half and also to kind of bury shoulders and get a first down. Some tough performances by these guys. You guys, teammates giving it up.
Yeah, we always try to play the best of our abilities each and every week. As you see this week, Paul just had surgery not too long ago, and he's out here 10-plus tackles, interception, with a couple of pass breakups. So he's doing his thing as well.
Two games remain. Going to be out of it from here on out. What do you expect out of the last two games with this football team?
Really just to continue to get better, continue to fight. We might be out of it or whatnot, but season's not over. We still got two more games left. Hopefully to, you know, knock someone out of the playoffs and, you know, just get two more wins underneath our belt.
All right, thank you, Devon.
Jeff Lagerman in the locker room with Jaguars defensive back Devon House. When we return, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for Fred Taylor. Final score, 23-17. The Falcons now 7-7, snapped a 6-game losing skid with their win today. The Jags fall to 5-9. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Not awesome today. Final score 23-17. The Falcons with a win over the Jaguars in Week 15. Jags fall to 5-9. The Falcons snap a 6-game losing skid. They're now 7-7. Time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports spread. Here we go. Number one, third down defense. We've heard it a lot of the season. Why the big issue?
JP, we need pass rush. When you know it's an obvious passing situation, or most of them, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, you have to be able to get to a quarterback. That's the only way you're going to get off the field.
Third down offense, Fred, despite the fact that they scored 51 points last week, weren't very good on third down. That kind of got buried today. 0-for-8, third down offensively. How do you get better?
You have to be successful in the early downs, first down, second down. The run game's creating a little balance that way. You're at 3rd and short, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2, even 3rd and 1. Now you're giving yourself a better chance to complete third down.
And finally, number three, the Jags fall to 5-9. 2 games to go. What now, Fred?
You're playing for pride now. You're out of it playoff-wise, but you have a lot of guys that are playing well. You know, your quarterback is playing pretty well. You know, you want to make sure you give your young guys a look. So now you can get your mindset ready on, you know, who we're going to bring in here, what players are returning, this and that. So it's a pride thing to remain 2 weeks.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers from Fred Taylor. Final score 23-17. You know, we've talked about this pass rush, lack of it all season long, and it just comes back in different ways. Almost every week it shows up in a different way, and it's not something you can fix in the middle of the season. It's just not that way.
You can't fix it, not in the NFL, because of the waiver wire and all the transit, you know, transactions that are going on throughout the league. It's just hard to really find that diamond in the rough for the most part. Like hitting a lottery, I guess, one way to put it. But the defensive guys, they have to understand that when they're in those situations, by any means, you got to get to the quarterback. There's a few third and long situations out there today, and they didn't get off the field.
Yeah, and not only, you know, get to the quarterback or at least stick with your guy. I mean, you know that the pressure's not getting to him. You've got to do something on one end or the other, Frey. You either got to stay longer in coverage. You just got to find the way to do it, because I think Bob Babich is trying to mix it up. We're seeing some four-man rush. We're seeing some six-man rush. We're seeing different things. None of them really working right now.
No, any of them has none of it has worked to this point. And usually, as the season goes along, you're going to be exploited. You know, teams are going to – they're going to watch film. They're going to evaluate. They're going to know your weaknesses. And a lot of teams probably don't really mind getting a third down versus us, because a lot of teams, that's where they've had most success versus us. But I can tell you, Mike and JP, that this might be one of the early areas in the draft that we look to, fill that D-line, because Clemens is a little bit older, 13-year guy. He's been a pass rush specialist. Few of the guys in the middle, Roy and those guys, they're built to stop the run. Not necessarily, they're not the athletic type that are going to be able to be in there three downs and play the pass as well. So you might look to address it in the draft and possibly even free agency.
Yeah, we'll take free agent draft and we'll get Fowler and Derek Marks back. All four of those things, let's get that going.
Quadfecta. So,
yes.
The quad.
It might be what it takes, but at least, some reinforcements are coming, but yeah. Can't get here for the rest of the regular season.
Right. And this season's done. I'm sorry.
No, Fred, go ahead. You feel it's done now. It's over.
Yeah, this season, from being eliminated mathematically, you're out of the playoffs. So that's done. But, it's time for the guys to say, we got to finish this season strong. On a good note, it's draft position. It's all that different stuff. So you go out there and play.
They've got to go play the last two at New Orleans next week and at Houston to wrap it up in Week 17. Final score today in Week 15, 23-17. The Falcons over the Jags. We'll come back with a Bud Light play of the game, the highlights a little later, and Everbank final stat check. Plenty left. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beard Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score in Week 15, Falcons 23, Jaguars 17. Time to hear the highlights from today's game. We'll choose a Bud Light play of the game as well. Start off in the first quarter. The Falcons get the ball. They march right down the field. Julio Jones had three catches on the drive for 44 yards. Ryan, 6 of 6 on the drive. Freeman scores from 5 yards out.
Toss sweep to Freeman running to the right. He tries to get the edge. He does. He is hit by Paul Posluszny, but he gets it into the end zone. He reached out. He dove for the pylon. That'll be a touchdown, a 5-yard touchdown run by Devontae Freeman, and Atlanta strikes first here in Jacksonville.
7-0 right out of the gate. The Jags offense slow in starting, a 3-and-out, another punt. They do get a 42-yard field goal from Myers. They cut the lead to 7-3 at that point. Then a couple of drives later, the Falcons with the ball again. This time 11 plays, 81 yards. Julio Jones is going to get his.
Play fake rolling right. Julio Jones has it. He throws it to him. Julio tries to get it to the pylon. They knock him out of bounds at the 2-yard line. He needed to get it to the 1 for a first down.
They called the touchdown.
But now they call it a touchdown. The back judge said touchdown the last minute.
Reached the ball over the pylon. It is a touchdown, 14-3. Falcons led at that point. But the Jaguars driving, 8 plays, 87 yards. They're down to the 1-yard line. Bortles throws an interception.
Shotgun for Bortles. Here we go. Snap. Blake looks to the left. Fires it out to the left side. That's intercepted. That is intercepted along the sideline. They are running it back along the right sideline. Blake trying to get there, trying to knock him out of bounds. He stumbles, and the tackle is made at the 15-yard line, but that's going to run out the clock.
Actually, they put 2 seconds on the clock. The runner was down, the interceptor was down with 2 seconds to go, and it set up a Graham field goal from 34 yards at the halftime gun. 17-3 Atlanta with a halftime lead. But the Jaguars found a little momentum coming out of the halftime locker room. Opening drive, 9 plays, 80 yards. Bortles on a bootleg.
Jags trying to get to within 1 touchdown here. Play fake. Bortles rolls left. Looks like he's going to run it. Blake Bortles is going to run it in. Touchdown, Jacksonville. A 1-yard touchdown run by Bortles, and the first touchdown of the day for the Jaguars.
Jags cut the lead for Atlanta down to 17-10. Third play of the ensuing drive for the Falcons. Matt Ryan intercepted by an unlikely Jaguars defender.
Dropping, looking to his left, fires it out. Ball's tipped into the air, and it's going to be picked off. It was tipped by Audric, and Paul Posluszny, club on his hand and all, has picked it off, and the Jaguars will start inside the 40-yard line.
A one-handed Paul Posluszny with the interception, and then it set up the Bud Light play of the game. Blake Bortles to Allen Robinson for the game-tying score.
Play fake. Bortles looks, fires to the right side. He wants Allen Robinson. Allen with the catch. Touchdown. There's a flag down, but it's a touchdown in the back of the end zone. Let's see what the penalty is. I believe it's against the Falcons.
It is against the Falcons. That touchdown stands.
That is the Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. But it all went downhill. The Jags had tied it at 17 at that point. There was a 31-yard pass interference a couple of drives later that set up a Graham 33-yard field goal, 20-17 Atlanta. Jags go three and out a couple of times. Graham hits a 46-yard field goal on a drive, a 14-play drive that had three third-down conversions, 23-17, and that's all the Falcons would need. The Jags unable to get anything done on their final drive offensively, a turnover on downs. That's the final score, 23-17. Falcons now 7-7. They snap a six-game losing skid. The Jags fall to 5-9. When we come back, more with Fred Taylor, Mike Dempsey. We'll have the EverBank final stats check. A little later, we'll pick a Safe Touch Security player of the game as well. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, and by EverBank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars postgame continues. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. It's time now for an EverBank final stats check, as painful as this will be today. The Jags fall 23-17. First downs, Falcons 22-21 led the way there. But third downs told the tale this game. In the first half, the Falcons were 1 of 5 on third downs. In the second half, they were 6 for 9 in third down conversions on offense, and a handful of those were that one late drive, three of them, in fact. And it told the tale on the other side, too. The Jaguars' offense 0 for 8 on third downs today. That's where it really begins and ends in this game. Yardage 328 for the Falcons, 357 for the Jags' offense today. Rushing yardage, the Falcons led the way 83-72. Passing yardage 285-245. Jaguars led in that department. Penalties 5 for each side, 62 yards against the Jags, 43 against the Falcons today. In terms of team statistics, none bigger, guys, than the third down conversions both ways.
No question. We were sitting here in the second half, JP, watching the game together. The third downs defensively killing them, and you just kind of lose track, Fred, of the third downs offensively throughout the game. As you said, you fall behind the schedule. You get stuffed on first down or throw incomplete pass early, and they're facing a lot of third and longs, and the Jags just couldn't get it done on that down.
You know, I think third down defensively, a lot more vital than third downs from an offensive standpoint, as long as the offense is, connecting big plays,
right?
First, second downs, they're creating first down opportunities. But the defense isn't getting off the field. When you're not getting off the field and the opposing teams could methodically just move the ball down the field, now you're losing field position. And that's going to affect the offense from playing from a backed up standpoint. For the fans out there that don't necessarily know, football is really simplest form, field position at the very end of the day. And if you're having bad starting field position, it's an uphill battle regardless of what you're doing on third downs from an offensive standpoint. So both sides of the ball must get better on third down.
Individually today, the two quarterbacks, pretty similar. Blake Bortles, 23 out of 38 for 297. a touchdown and an interception. Matt Ryan, 22 of 35, 246, a touchdown and an interception on his side as well. Devontae Freeman took him 25 carries to get 56 yards. So the Jags did a nice job with him on the ground, particularly Paul Posluszny, but he did run for a touchdown in this game with a long rush of 21 yards. For the Jags, it was Blake Bortles leading the way. Six scrambles netted 44 yards. And a touchdown for him. Denard Robinson only managed 2 yards a carry, 14 carries for 28 yards today. But he did make an impact in the passing game. Julius Thomas for the Jags, 6 for 79, led the way. Allen Robinson, 3 for 57 with a touchdown reception there. And Denard caught 8 out of the backfield for an additional 46 yards. Julio Jones did what Julio Jones does, 9 catches for 118 and a score. Nobody else with more than 47 yards. That was Roddy White. Devontae Freeman caught 7 out of the backfield, but only for 45 yards total. And defensively, two former Jaguars led the way for Atlanta. Justin Durant and Nate Stupar each had 7 combined tackles. But what about the game for Paul Posluszny today? 10 tackles combined. Most of those were solos. A couple of tackles for loss and the interception. Even with the club hand, he was everywhere today.
Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and
should we vote early?
Give you a snippet. That was my MVP vote.
I hear you.
Sorry for letting the cat out the bag, but in his return, I thought he did great.
With one hand today, Paul Posluszny will officially come back and vote for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game.
Sorry about
that. Leader of the clubhouse.
When we come back, that was your Everbank final stat check. Final score, 23-17, the Falcons over the Jaguars. More Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. After this, the Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues 23-17 final in week 15. The Falcons are now 7-7. Jags fall to 5-9. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey and Fred Taylor. It's time now to vote for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. And, of course, here's how it works. I get a vote. Mike gets a vote. Fred Taylor gets a vote and a half. So it might be a unanimous issue today.
I don't know if we've had any of those.
Unanimous?
Have we had a unanimous?
I thought we've had one or two.
Yeah, might have early on. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's always disputed, but Fred always wins.
Fred, you let the cat out of the bag. Why don't you tell us who the player of the game is today?
I'm going 51. Yeah. Nine solo tackles with a club, an interception. In the pregame, I thought I said he wasn't going to. I don't expect him to catch any balls.
Yeah.
I think I said
that's right.
That.
Yeah.
He cradled that one, but he caught it.
Hey. Catch by any means necessary right in this league. He came back to return from surgery. His leadership, his presence. Now, I thought he had a great day today despite the loss.
I'll go ahead and make it official and vote for him as well. So we outvote.
You got my vote, yep.
Well, it's a unanimous vote today. Paul Posluszny is the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. Finished with 10 total tackles, 9 solos, 2 tackles for loss. One pass defense and an interception as well. And you know, like you said, Fred, it's just a different game when he's out there, a veteran who's your defensive captain. Not that Jordan Tripp did a bad job of having guys in the right place last week, but Paul can bring so much more than that.
It's just a feel-good thing, especially for guys that are used to seeing their guy next to them. You're hearing the same voice. You know, it just puts you in a good spirit, just a good frame of mind, just to see that he's out there. And knowing that when it's time to make a play, he's going to get it done.
You ever played with a broken bone?
No, never. Played with a lot of other stuff.
Right, plenty of other things.
Never a broken bone. But, yeah, I mean, 9 solo tackles. We're not saying assists. These are solo tackles, and it's hard to you know, wrap up and all that different stuff. So that's impressive.
You said in the pregame, I asked you in the pregame, as a running back, what's your approach against a guy like that? You said go right at him because he can't, you know, wrap up.
Yeah, he's
going
to slither right down. And you know, I always tell people, for me, tackling is the hardest thing in football. You know, quarterback is tough, but those guys got to tackle, man. It's not an easy thing to do. So today I'm impressed that he had 9 solo tackles with a club, with one hand.
Yeah, and I'm impressed. The kind of runner that Freeman is, Fred, he's not that big target guy that you just thump on. I mean, he can make you miss in the open field. Paul was everywhere today.
Oh, yeah. He was all over him. He was everywhere he was. Pass game, run game, he was blanketing him. So, Paul definitely deserves it.
If I'm not mistaken, the fan voting, I think he was 6th in inside linebackers
something
in fan
like
voting.
That,
so he's up there. He's, you know, we'll see next week when the – final Pro Bowl voting comes out, he could be headed to Hawaii. Who knows?
I mean, and it says a lot about a linebacker, a guy who's playing in a smaller market. The team isn't, you know, they don't have one of the best records in the game. And usually when that happens, you don't get the fair notoriety that you deserve. But Paul's been solid, man. He's definitely a good, very good linebacker, good pickup for us.
Paul Posluszny is the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. When we return, the Baptist Health Injury Report. Final score, 23-17, the Falcons over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars Post Game on Jaguars Radio. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Jaguars Post Game continues after the Jags fall in Week 15. The 23-17 final, the Atlanta Falcons are now 7-7. Jags fall to 5-9. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A few notables today. Dan Scuda with a hamstring injury, was limping around, was questionable return. I believe he did, right, Mike?
He did come back, yes.
Scuda came back in the game. You know, he's been battling the groin injury a little bit, missed a game or so in the past. Telvin Smith with a left hand injury, but was back on the field flying around still.
Yeah, he was in and out a little bit there in the second half.
They looked like they were taping things up, retaping some things on the sideline, at least from the TV view of it. And Marquise Lee, after the circus catch, came right off the field, but then was back on the field as well a few plays later.
That was good to see because obviously everyone's first thought, oh, you got to be kidding me. Make a play, go out. But heck of a catch. And great concentration to stay with that play. And like you said, he came right back out, so it didn't look like it was a big deal.
So there you have it, the three true notables. And Josh Evans, right, went down at one point.
That came off the field. Yeah, Josh Evans got hit on the play inside the two-minute warning, right, when there were the double penalties on that play, and he was down for a good bit. They're looking at, according to Rick Ballew's sideline report, they're looking at multiple body parts on that one. So not sure where that was focused.
Almost left that one out, Josh Evans. You know, Fred, this is that time of year, as we were talking during the break, that injuries, things lingering, you got contract thoughts in your head, the offseason's coming up. This is the time where injuries, I don't know if they happen or you finally make moves on them, but you make decisions, right?
You have to make decisions. I mean, but from a player standpoint, you know, guys that are passionate, the guys that are willing to fight through things, guys that have certain incentives, you know, maybe contract stuff on the horizon. I mean, so a few ways to look at it. It depends on by the individual. Because it's tough. You know, it's tough to – you've been battling injuries and you're telling yourself, you know, week to week, I'm trying to get back out there. I'm trying to help the team win, you know, because we have a shot at something. Now when you know it's sort of almost wiped out, you know, what's your motivation? Now I've seen guys quit with two games left with nothing to play for. Guys just tank the season. Their pockets are good. You know, they're not having contract talk. They pretty much, you know, quit and make an excuse not to be out there. So you're going to see, you know, whose character is going to step up to the plate and who's going to really be for the team and finish this thing out, or who's going to tuck their tail and run and not, you know, show up for the next one.
I got to think, Fred, you look back over the last almost three full seasons now under Gus Bradley, they've had plenty of opportunities to do that, right? I mean, they've been bad. Their record-wise, they won seven games his first 2 years. And I don't get the sense that the team did that, right? I don't get the sense that they gave up. I get the sense that they still buy into Gus Bradley and they still play hard for him, which is a credit not only to Gus, but a credit to the players as well that they've assembled here that, you know, look, they've the last couple of years, they've long been out of it, and they still fought, I think, to the end. So hopefully we'll see the same over the next 2 weeks.
Right, you know, and I'm not in the locker room. I've been a part of some teams that have had players that have done that. But, you know, I'm not in their locker room. I know a few other guys personally that I know for a fact they won't quit, but I think it is a credit to Gus. You know, he's just a ball of optimism, if you want. I would have loved to, you know, at least, play it under him some capacity. But, you know, but we'll see. I mean, you never know how it's going to happen, what's going to take place. But we're going to need the guys to play.
Are you available to sign, by the way? Could that happen?
It depends on what we're talking. I mean, you're going to sign me for macaroni and cheese?
Right, how good are his pockets going to be is the question.
I mean, you know, the money isn't really the issue. I love some good mac and cheese. It's the holidays, man. We're talking about filling this gut up right now.
Maybe you're not in the
best
shape.
Depends on how long they want me. I'm in okay shape.
Okay.
You know, it depends on what type of shape you're talking about. Life shape, football shape. I want.
What
you talking about?
10 reps with 5 carries out of you.
Back to back to back?
Back to back weeks. 2 weeks. Total of 20 reps, 10 carries over the last 2 weeks.
Without a doubt.
See?
Of course.
It's a low bar for Freddie.
Of course.
I mean,
like,
your
don't
yardage
make me carry 25
what kind of,
times.
I mean, you're not going to break for 90 yards.
Really, that piece is all dependent upon the guys that are up front. I got to get some help. I mean, I can still create a little bit, but, you know, I mean, I'm going to need some sort of – just get the ball rolling.
Okay. We'll
can do back-to-back.
We'll work on that.
But after it's back-to-back, then I might be out 3 weeks.
Yeah, you might be tapping out. Right. When we return, we'll preview next week's game in New Orleans. 2 weeks to go here in the 2015 season. Final moments of Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score in week 15, 23-17, the Falcons over the Jags. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. A few distractions this week. You might have heard it's a holiday coming up. And then the Jags are going to New Orleans the day after that holiday to face the New Orleans Saints in the Superdome. Drew Brees is a pretty good quarterback. You might have heard about that, too. He's pushing 60,000 passing yards, right?
He is very good, and despite the fact that he's not having his best year, he's still very dangerous. And Matt Ryan not having his best year, you can see what can happen. If you don't get after Drew Brees, you better believe he's going to put some points up next week. And I guess the good thing is, JP, for Jag fans making the trip, games have been moved back to the 4 o'clock kickoff window, and so you can stay out a little bit later on Saturday night and feel good about yourself when you get up.
Right? Why are you looking at me?
I know you're not making the trip. I mean, I'm looking at you because I'm
talking
to you.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying whoever's making the trip is probably going to go out and enjoy Bourbon Street.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course.
That's a good thing way to look at it. Drew Brees is Drew Brees, man. He's going to be, you know, he's one of the greats to ever play, but their defense is terrible.
Like epic, true. Epically
right.
Bad.
On both run and pass.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I don't think they look for it to get any better after they fired their defense coordinator middle of the season. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we can take advantage of that some sort of way.
Got to get something done. You got 2 weeks to go. You got an offense that was ascending the last 2 weeks, didn't play well overall today. Maybe get that back next week and see if you can get something done on defense. So 2 games left. The Jags and the Saints coming up Sunday. Fred, Merry Christmas, and have a great week with the youngsters.
Yeah, to remind me.
He's got all of them.
Well, thank you, and happy – that's all I can say.
Thanks,
thank
I guess.
You.
I don't know.
No, happy holidays to everyone in here and everyone, you know, around the world.
And we'll talk to you next week before the Saints game. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it, man. I am really looking. I'm not getting anything for Christmas, by the way. So whoever's listening, what's the address here? We got the address?
One Everbank Field.
One Everbank Field, care of Fred Taylor.
Well, you're not getting Christmas? Why?
Huh?
What are you?
I don't do
the bad list.
We don't do gift exchange.
Really? No. You just get coal and switches. That's all you get every year. You've been bad this year, Fred.
I'm always in a giving mood. So whatever gift that I probably would have gotten, I tend to, you know.
You're a re-gifter is what you are then.
Of course.
You get the gift and you give it on.
You better believe it.
Oh, okay.
Or at some point it's going to end up at Goodwill.
It
sits around the house and I'll donate it to Goodwill.
We're learning a lot about Fred Taylor
right now.
We
need to have an intimate one-on-one session someday.
Yeah, I like that. By the way, before we go, it was alumni weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys back today. We had Thunder and Lightning pregame. That was really cool. But cool to see all these guys back at least once a year, everybody.
Of course, that's good, and it's gotten better in each and every year. Last night the dinner was amazing. Kyle Brady, he's always vintage Mango, Saturday Night Live character.
Yes,
you know Mango?
That's right.
Yeah, doing some coughing impersonations.
Kyle Brady does Mango?
Oh, the best. The best.
Wow.
You should have seen.
I mean, Mango is like the size of Kyle Brady's leg. You know, the
it's
actual
okay.
guy.
Right, right.
Chris
but
Kattan.
I can tell you as a player, he drove his Harley Davidson through the equipment room, through the locker room, full 360. No, can I say no? He didn't have on a shirt.
Okay.
He had shirtless.
He had on jock strap.
Okay.
Okay.
Mostly naked.
Passing out lollipops. Like, ooh, hey,
there you go.
Mango is in the building. It's Mango. So, but, yeah, some of that stuff went on last night in alumni dinner. But of all the guys to see, you know, I enjoyed really catching up with James Stewart, a guy who, you know, brought me, embraced me. And, you know, he could have been one of those veterans that didn't really care about what the rookie, you know, running back that was looking to take his job would do. But Stu embraced me. I hadn't seen him actually about 4 or 5 years now.
Wow.
So it was good to catch up with James Stewart last night.
Very cool. And Fred, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week before the Saints-Jaguars game.
Right.
There he is.
All right, Freddie.
Fred Taylor, for Mike Dempsey, for Tony Smith, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. The VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Final score, Falcons 23, Jaguars 17. The scoreboard show is next for those listening in Jacksonville. The phone lines open, 1-800-355-NFL1. This has been Jaguars Postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.